Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
That's pretty good choice of music. You like that?
Jerry Lewis and the News? Yeah, they're good. I like them.
I did too. I like the news. Absolutely. Sure did. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, ESPN Louisville, 105.7, 680, and the process on the board. Today, Crean, it's a holiday for Crean.
How does that work? He's not here on Thursdays and Fridays?
Yeah, he get two holidays, as they say in Europe, right?
Does he work on the weekend?
Yeah, he works every weekend. Instead, we didn't want to kill him, so we were like, all right, since process gets weekends off, I guess we'll double up for him. And I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd rather have weekends off than Thursday and Friday.
Oh, of course. But then again, you have to remember, every day is a holiday for Crean. That guy is always cheery.
That's right. That's a good point. And you, on the other hand, are always negative.
Yeah, I'm hell on earth, my man.
Well, we are efforting Scott Emerson of The Athletic to talk about South Carolina sports, basketball specifically. He has failed to answer. Process is diligently chasing him down, efforting him.
Where did the word efforting come from? You've used that on a number of occasions now.
It's kind of like the rim runner.
Efforting.
Yeah, I don't know. I picked that up somewhere. Picked that up somewhere. I don't know. I can't give up my secrets.
No, okay. What, in terms of what efforting is?
Yeah.
I don't know. Efforting. It just means I'm working and sweating all across my brow and freaking out inside.
Got it.
Let me ask you something, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brad Stevens obviously got rid of Kemba Walker. Do you think it's going – and in the new coaching situation, do you think the next coach of the Celtics is going to be able to have his own free reign of things, or is Stevens going to, like, kind of white-knuckle things? Like, do you think – is it tough to relinquish control from being a head coach to being a GM?
No. And I will say this. If Brad is smart, and he is – he will have the last say on putting the roster together. He'll have the players that he thinks will best help the Celtics win. But he'll stay out. And this is one thing, if I was interviewing with him about coaching the Celtics, he has to stay completely out of the coaching aspect of it. Now, you know, a lot of GMs and coaches have good relationships where ideas are bounced back and forth. Some of them can't stand each other, and they just, the GM puts the team together and the coach coaches them. And I've said this before, if you're a really good GM, you can outlast about three coaches. And so I'm sure that's where Brad is headed.
Well, 8 years, it's a long time to coach one team.
anymore. I mean, there's so like our last guest just said, you know, there's only so many wins and only so many teams can win, and so if you don't win, there's the scrutiny that you come under with you know, gas bags like us and social media. There's just so it's so transparent anymore. It's hard to stay in one place for a long time.
And a question for you is that outside of talent and winning games, what is the best thing? What have you seen in Denver that the Rockies or the Broncos or the Nuggets have done with the community to tie into the community? And why I ask this, the original Charlotte Hornets, when they were the first pro major league team in the state of North Carolina, because since the Cougars, okay?
Right, yep.
And the hockey hadn't landed yet when they started the Hornets, and of course they had Triple A baseball, but big college state, right? So people got behind it because they hadn't really seen it, and I thought we did a good job drafting from the expansion draft and the first draft with Rex of good people who are good in the community, and then that got many people. They didn't want to see 41 games. Okay, they might want to see, you know, 10. So everybody, they'd get four families together and they'd draw the games out and each one would have 10. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of that going on, and the whole town was hooked on that team for all the reasons I just said. So what does a pro team do to, I mean, win? Yeah, okay, baby, just win, as Al Davis used to say. But as you said, not everybody can win.
No, and it depends on the team. Using Denver as an example, their very first professional team, one of the four major, of course they have all four now, but the very first one they had was the Denver Broncos, going back to the AFL days. And so the Broncos – and I think also the fact that, you know, there's only eight home games. Well, I guess now there might be nine, but, you know, fewer games, and so, and the game, each game means so much. The Broncos have a following that's unbelievable.
Can tell that by TV. Yeah.
No, and it doesn't matter. I mean, the Broncos haven't won anything for a number of years now, but the stadium is still full, and there's a waiting list to get season tickets, and they don't split those season tickets, most of the people, you know, because there are
I mean, they've been there for 40 years or whatever it is,
but,
50
but
years.
But the other three franchises, I think as long as you show that you're trying to win, that you're spending money, and the Nuggets and I think the Avalanche both fit this description, as long as you're trying to win, and you're efforting to do that.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're going to get support, and the community work is very important, but everybody does that. If they think you're just trying to put some money in your pocket and you're not trying to win like the Rockies are, then there's no support whatsoever. I mean, I know people who have had season tickets since the day the Rockies came to town that haven't re-upped in the last year or two because, you know, they've got no shot to win. I mean, you know, they won last night. They beat the Brewers last night. They have a decent record at home. They're 5-27 on the road. So, you know, they're not going to support a team like that when there's no effort to really win and be competitive.
Well, I know when George Shinn, the owner of the original Charlotte Hornets, moved them to New Orleans, okay? And then I think they ended up, after the hurricane, playing
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Then he divested himself of that franchise, sold out bits and pieces. So now they got a new team in Charlotte. In Charlotte, everybody I knew down there that I had talked to, and it's not the whole town, obviously, but a lot of people were offended that by Shinn himself. It wasn't the players. They were PO'd at Shinn because Shinn had said a lot of things during the course of the history the first time around and turned around just Blue Town. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Johnson of BET buys
Bob
the team,
Johnson.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not going to get it done. He got a good deal. Okay. He got a good deal to bring that team in there, I was told. So, but what really made it and brought some people back together was Jordan becoming involved.
Yeah.
Because they forgave the NBA and everybody involved with the move because Jordan was
because
involved,
of
right?
Michael, yeah. 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 And, you know, you mentioned the Pelicans. Now there's some talk around New Orleans about what's happening with that franchise. And I guess that Miss Benson, who owns the Pelicans and the Saints, has gone to the arena and said, you know, if you want me, their lease only runs through 2024, and so she said, you know, you're going to have to fix this place up.
That's what you call holding them up.
if you want me to come back here. And now it's come out that Zion and his family aren't very excited about what's going on in New Orleans. And that was the reason that their coach was dismissed, Van Gundy, after just 1 year. And so, you know, it's getting more and more. The NBA is becoming more and more a league that's being run by the players. I mean, the players, if you look at that league, the players are calling the shots. And there was a report a couple days ago about Aaron Rodgers, and some of the NFL owners were saying, don't trade him. Don't do that. Because we don't want to become the NBA. We don't want to become a league where players are telling us where they're going to play and where they're not going to play and things like that. So I don't know if that's good for the game or bad for the game. But, New Orleans has an awful lot of eggs in that Zion Williamson's basket. So it'll be interesting to see who they hire as a head coach.
Absolutely. The kid, Brandon Ingram from Duke, played a year at Duke, and he's really coming on. He's become quite a player.
He was with the Lakers and was part of the Davis trade.
Yes.
He and Ball. Yeah.
So if you get rid of Zion, then I would say you probably have to get rid of – because – Brandon Ingram's going to come in with his people and do the same thing.
Yeah, but they can't get rid of Zion.
Well, I don't think so either. But Dan, I think we read the same article. You know, it's my theory. What influences these young fellas? Family. There's a good family. There's some shaky family people too. Friends. Good friends. There's some shaky. Now we're getting more shaky. And there's fools that hang around that want something, okay? They just hang around to be part of the party, part of the circus.
Yep.
All right?
And they've all got them.
Oh.
They've all got them, believe me.
So you got the family involved now with Zion. What was it, Process, he said when he went to New York the first time? Or second time, whatever it was, he said, I think I'd really like to play here. I enjoy playing here. You know, the NBA got a little testy about that. Yeah, they got a little testy about that. So, you know, you got – it was clear, the article I read, that the family wanted Van Gundy out. And now, I think – didn't we read the same – Van Gundy had 3 years left?
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll get mailbox money for two more years.
And she, the owner, she wants a better deal.
Gail Benson.
From the arena, okay? And then the GM has now got the whole Zion family upset. He fires the – I mean, what a mess that is, Dan.
And, you know, you can put up with stuff like that when you're winning.
Yeah.
But when you're not even making the playoffs, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the arena really does what Miss Benson wants them to do, because, you know, she's not moving that franchise. Her family has too many long
ties. Well, she owns the Saints, doesn't she?
Yeah. Okay. That family and her husband was a treasure in New Orleans. So, but who they get to coach that mess is going to be real interesting.
How about Rick?
Rick
Carlisle.
Carlisle?
Yeah, I mean, he's
maybe
a free
Rick Pitino.
Maybe. I mean, look, I think he's having a good thing in Iona. By the way, here's that Zion quote if you want it. You
please,
want it?
Please.
All right, New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. I played here in college. This is my first time playing here in the pros. This atmosphere, whether they're cheering you or whether they're booing you, is amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you. There you go.
So pretty soon he'll be outside of New Orleans. Right.
Yeah. And he said his favorite place to play is, you know, New York. There you go.
Well, let's talk about this. You think Rick Carlisle would go to New Orleans?
No. No.
I don't either.
No way. I mean, he's
too big a mess for him.
Yeah, he's coming out of one circus. What he doesn't need that. He can pick. I would say right now his agent is talking to about five different NBA teams. He could pick where he wants to go next. And he knew that when he told Dallas bye-bye.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
So, but no, he's not going to New Orleans.
Where would you say, I've got a thought on it, where would you say he might end up?
Could be Boston. Could be Boston. Could be Portland. I mean, he's going to go someplace where he thinks he's got a chance to win now. I mean, you've been around the game as long as he has. He's not going to go for any rebuilding program.
No, no.
So what's your thoughts?
I'm thinking either Boston or Washington, Portland. That's kind of not in that order, but I would say Boston 1, Portland 2, Washington 3. What do you think, Process? Throw your 2 cents in here.
I would say, Boston 1, obviously they got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. That's obviously you could sell that. Portland, you could sell Damian Lillard. I'd still say New Orleans over Washington because I feel like Washington has just Russell Westbrook and they're going to be a middling team. At least with New Orleans, you can sell Zion. If I'm a GM or if I'm in the front office, I'm going, you just came off of a generational player in Luka. We have one of those right now in Zion. I think you could really work out with him. That's if I'm New Orleans, that's what I'm pushing hard.
Makes some sense. But I think to add to this whole discussion, the relationship, I believe it's Giffen, who's the general manager.
Right, yep.
And what kind of relationship does he have with Carlisle?
Yeah.
Does he have any? I mean, sometimes there's strong relationships in that league.
Well, but if the story is, and we don't know if this is true or not, but if the story is that Zion and his family got Van Gundy fired after 1 year, do you want to step into that situation?
Just another circus.
Yeah, I don't think he goes there.
I think it's Boston, Portland, Washington. That's what I think. Yeah. Boston, Portland, Washington.
How many are there enough candidates to fill seven positions out there? Somebody's going to have to take a chance on somebody that doesn't have a lot of coaching experience, and then they're not going to have to pay $6 million a year too. There's just not that many really outstanding options to fill seven different vacancies.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Becky Hammon finally gets her shot at this? Because her name has been thrown out every year for the last probably decade. Do you think this is finally the year Becky Hammon gets a shot at being a coach?
Not this year.
Not this year?
No.
Okay.
No. I think if Becky and she certainly has earned the right to have that opportunity. But I'm going to guess she stays in San Antonio and replaces Popovich.
Really?
That's my vote, too.
That makes sense.
That's what I would think. But I think she could certainly do the job. But I don't know if any of these other teams right now and the position they're in are willing to take that chance.
Well, it's just a natural for her to step up when Pop steps down. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It might happen this summer. It might happen next year. You know, Pop's, he'll be 73, 74. And, I know he likes his job and all that kind of stuff. But he and that franchise has been grooming Becky Hammon.
Absolutely.
So if I'm her, I don't leave. Unless you don't trust management. If you don't trust management, then you move.
I would say, knowing their ownership and the longevity of the people that work there and the connection they all have, I would say she could trust that situation. Now, I wouldn't say that about every NBA team, but San Antonio's a pretty top-notch outfit from top to bottom.
Well, Process, we got a couple cuts that you can help us with that'll feed right into it. Cut number three, Carlisle job market.
A marketplace right now where there are multiple openings, and Rick Carlisle is unique in that marketplace in that he has won a championship. And I think for teams who are more win now right now, this was a chance for Rick Carlisle to move on, and ultimately I think feeling like there was an inevitable end in Dallas with this group, with this era.
There you go.
Yeah.
Inside information.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that you have people like Donnie Nelson and like Rick Carlisle that have the track record, and some analytic guy can come in there.
Gambler.
Keyword there is former. And basically take over the running of the franchise. It just amazes me.
You're dealing with Williamson. You're dealing with all these star players. Luca had some thoughts, process, on the new head coach. He says he doesn't want to be involved. We've all heard that before.
Despite his age, you know, you're certainly going to talk to him about what he thinks is important, the attributes, and I think certainly Jamal Mosley on Dallas's staff is going to get a very good look, to be elevated to head coach.
That might have been labeled wrong. Regardless.
The chain breaks down. The chain. Maybe you can find that process. But Dan, on the text line, the UPS text line, is there a majority owner in line for the Louisville franchise if it happens?
If it happens, that's a great question. And all I can say is that we are under a non-disclosure agreement with an individual who certainly has the ability to do that. And I think that that's important. If you look at the competition to get an NBA team, whether it's the NBA decides to expand or if it's moving a team, you look at the competition. Seattle has very solid. They have two very solid ownership groups that are waiting. Las Vegas just said recently they have their money lined up for a potential NBA team. And so that's what we're working on right now. And I would say that at this point, all I can say is it's probably closer than it's been in the last 40 years.
Wow.
So we'll see.
And you've put, three or four years into all this just trying to gather support and find people? You mean you had to sift through a bunch of people, did you not?
Yeah, but, we really got hit hard with COVID. We had a really nice momentum going on. We have a lot of people signing up for our ambassador clubs, which you can still do at NBALU.com. And we were having events, barrel picks. You and Louie were nice enough to come out and sign limestone bourbon bottles for us. We went to Lexington, rather, and Goose Gibbons and Kenny Walker helped us down there. And we were having events. And COVID just shut all of that down. So that's still important, and that's still something that we're going to get going again to show support in the community. But finding this owner, this potential owner or owners, is, I think, very important to us going forward.
I think it's interesting, before we go to break quickly here, the non-disclosure paperwork. That's pretty interesting that when you're dealing with the kind of money we're talking about and the type of high profile situation, you have to have that NDA.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And that's these people that can step up and write a check for an NBA franchise, you know, they're pretty competitive people, and they don't want their name out there, and then, you know, something happens.
Lose.
Exactly. And it doesn't go through. But hopefully we'll get to that point where we'll be able to disclose who the potential owners would be.
That will create a big conversation piece here in this town.
Well,
or in this state.
Yeah, and we have to do it because our competition is doing it. And so, you know, we always kind of had the thought process that, you know, we want all of this community support. We have a great opportunity to sell this Commonwealth to the NBA. The basketball, of course, our love for basketball is second to none. And so we kind of thought that would come along. The ownership piece would come along as we progressed. But the more and more we've looked at it, it's important to have that person, and it's important to have that person step out and say who he or she is.
This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. What would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream house is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home. They'll take care of the rest. NMLS 8259, Equal Housing Lender. Did I ace that?
Bingo!
All right. Process. We'll come back and see if we can't find Mr. Josh Kendall. And I think I know I gave you the right number, but he may have forgotten. So it's Friday. It's a wonderful Friday. We'll be back.
Get ready for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back for the last half hour of the week. And what is today, Mr. Issel?
The week is almost over Friday
there
with Dan
go.
And Mike.
There you go. We're hitting the bricks in about a half an hour. But before we go on the Kim Crawford Wines celebrity call-in line, Josh Kendall of The Athletic covers South Carolina. Josh, welcome in.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We want to talk a little bit with you about what's going on down there with South Carolina basketball. We've had various writers and radio, television people that cover the league from each school, and we are real interested what's going on at South Carolina with player movement and even Coach Martin in his situation.
It's interesting. There's no question.
Well, how many? I think I read someplace where South Carolina has, 7 new players? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, they lost 6 to the transfer portal. Alonzo Frank, Trey Hannibal, Jalen McCreary, T.J. Moss, Justin Manaya, and 7th Woods, the much-traveled former 5-star, former North Carolina Tar Heel 7th Woods. They had 2 guys who considered leaving for the NBA who came back in Jermaine Cousinard and Keyshawn Bryant, and then they had A.J. Lawson, who on his, you know, his 3rd foray into the NBA draft process is officially gone now. So, yeah, you've got 7 guys gone, 7 new people in. This is, you know, this has become college basketball in some places. We've seen it at Georgia. We're seeing it here. It is what it is. You know, if they make the tournament here, people will think, well, it was, you know, this was all part of the master plan. If they don't again, it will look like it's not going great.
Josh, I want to ask you about Coach Martin. There's been some speculation about his record and what things have gone, how things have gone at South Carolina. What's your opinion on Coach Martin's status?
Well, it's hard to say. He's been here 9 seasons. They've made 1 NCAA tournament. However, that one time they made it, they went to the Final Four, which accounted for four of this university's six NCAA tournament wins all time. So that buys you a lot at South Carolina, a state that, believe it or not, is kind of basketball crazy. And as we've seen from several recent NBA drafts, produces some significant basketball talent. So the former president, Bob Caslin, wanted Martin gone this year. That process had started through the various machinations that are go on in college sports, particularly in college sports in capital cities like this, where there are lots of fingers in the pot. That got stopped, and by kind of behind the scenes, a group saved Martin's job for one more year, or just for more than that potentially. But it led to a situation where instead of firing him, they gave him a two-year contract extension and reworked his buyout. So you thought at that point, okay, this is a make-or-break year. If they don't make the tournament, certainly Martin is gone. Since that time, though, we've seen Caslin have to resign because of several missteps, in a pretty long line of missteps. So now what happens when they have a new full-time president? How does that person view Frank Martin? Does the clock start again to some degree? You know, that's the million-dollar question in South Carolina.
Well, with the players coming back and the new players coming in, who are they hanging their hat on? What does it look like as far as some guys that we can watch next year become the leaders of this ball club?
Well, I think you've got to start with two guys who kind of barely stuck their toe in the NBA draft waters, and Jermaine Cousinard and Keyshawn Bryant. Keyshawn Bryant should, at the minimum, be one of the most exciting players in the conference. High-flying guy, super athletic. They need to and have been trying to make him more of a basketball player. If they can do that, if he can take that step, he could be a really fun player. And Cousinard, a Chicago kid, point guard, right up Frank Martin's alley in terms of the way he approaches the game. If they can click, Cousinard can stay healthy, cannot kind of lose his jump shot completely like we saw a couple of times in the previous season. He could be a really helpful force for them. Frank Martin's teams, despite the record, despite the lack of NCAA tournament appearances, they do have a track record of getting gradually better and of being a really tough out in the SEC and of playing really good defense. So if he has a point guard who he's on the same page with and can man that spot all year long, they can, just on the strength of that and the type of defense they play, be a pretty good team. So that's kind of the ceiling for this group. You hope that Cousinard is that guy. You hope that Bryant is a more well-rounded player, and that these guys who are coming in, who you would think mostly from smaller places, think this is my chance to show what I've got. They buy into the way Martin wants to do things. And, you know, once again, they're a tough outcome conference season.
This might be a tough year to have a good record and make some noise in the tournament in the SEC, because, Josh, we've talked to a lot of people around the league, and it's becoming more and more apparent this league is really stacked this year.
Yes, and South Carolina is not, frankly. So they're going to have to be kind of, if they're going to have a good season, it's going to be a fly in the ointment season, which Frank Martin, to be fair and honest, relishes. I mean, this could be, and it's impossible to say right now because they're throwing so many new people together. This could be, you know, just the kind of team that Frank Martin loves. Underdogs, you know, guys who will just defend you, you know, from the time you get off the bus, and who really buy in and who love to practice and just kind of get better. That's the best that this South Carolina team can hope for right now. They are not one of the teams that you go in saying, you know, they've got just as good a shot as anybody. They don't.
Well, Josh Kendall, we appreciate your time this morning, and I am a subscriber to The Athletic. And
we appreciate you.
Yeah, man, I enjoy it. Know some of the writers, and it's a terrific publication. And I've even got to Mr. Issel reading it, and reading for him sometimes is hard.
We understand that too.
Okay, brother. Okay. Thanks again, Josh Kendall, and on the update with University of South Carolina. You have a good weekend.
Thanks, Josh.
There you go. There you go. Hey.
At least he was honest.
Oh, he was great, man. He was, yeah.
He said South Carolina isn't one of those stacked teams.
He was pretty daggone straightforward. He talked about dipping the toe in, and two times you tried to go to the NBA, and now you finally given up and went anyway. Nobody wants you, but I'm going to go to the NBA.
Yeah.
We have a texter who asked the question, follow up our discussion. Does the NBA know who the potential majority owners would be in a franchise, in this franchise? Do you have to disclose that?
Yeah. All I can say is they may not know, the NBA may not know that we're talking to these people, but they would be people that would be easily recognized by the NBA. How's that for not saying anything?
Tap dancer-roo. That's a tap dancer-roo. Next week, the combine starts on the 21st, and two cats are going up, B.J. Boston and Isaiah Jackson. And you've been to enough of those. You can appreciate those.
Yep. I think do they still have it in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think about 2 days would do, but the NBA's got to do four or five. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
it turns out, I mean, there's a morning session and there's an evening session, and there's a lot of what am I going to say? A lot going on, a lot of lies being told to each other, but it winds up being a long, long week for sure.
Well, three cats have some awards. Julius Randle, he was the,
most improved.
Most improved. Quickly, my man, the Quick, second team.
Second team All-NBA.
Rookie team, yeah. Bam Adebayo, he was finished fourth in the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Pretty good run by those guys, all three of them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So let's wrap this up with a little NBA talk.
Yeah, we haven't talked at all about the game that took place last night.
Man, the Nets, they just I know they've had the injuries, and Harden was spectacular hurt. He was spectacular. I mean, you know, he wasn't the Harden that we're used to seeing, but the effort he put.
Much, much better than game five, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. I give the kid a lot of credit. The rest, Durant, the rest of the Nets, I don't know if they wanted to be out there or not. they were slow-footed. They didn't seem to have any energy. And in Milwaukee, of course, their back was to the wall, right, Dan?
Yeah.
They had to win.
Absolutely.
And, man, they were aggressive.
Well, and I can tell Milwaukee how they can win game number seven. And that is nobody except for Middleton gets to shoot the ball outside of the paint.
It's a good strategy.
they were attacking that rim last night, especially Giannis, and he was spectacular. I don't know why Holiday, we've talked about most of the great NBA teams, the great champion. They've always had that third option.
Correct.
You know, with Magic and Kareem, it was Worthy. Celtics had Bird and Hale and McHale and Parrish. Even the Bulls, who had Jordan and Pippen, they still had Paxton and Kerr that could shoot the ball. And Holiday could be that guy for the Bucks, but I mean, he's terrible. He hasn't given anything in this series. Last night, he's 1 for 10 from the 3-point line. Now, my question to you: at what point would you think, well, maybe this isn't my night, I better start taking the ball to the basket? You know, like when you were 1 for 5 or 1 for 6 or 1 for 7, do you really have to get to 1 for 10 to stop shooting the 3-pointers?
When I would hear the fans chanting, brick, 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 I think I might drive it to the basket. Holiday set up. He can finish at the rim. He's a big, strong guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not big, but he means 6'4" and strong. He's built to go to the rim.
Yeah. But, you know, we've talked about this, and you were talking about the other guys besides Durant and Harden. It's much easier for some reason. It's always easier for those role players to make a contribution when they're at home than it is on the road. And so I would expect somebody or some buddies to step up and really help in that situation when they go home for game number 7.
A couple stats that were just you mentioned Giannis taking the ball to the rim.
Yeah.
And we're all tired of watching him shoot the tray. I mean, look, give it up till next year, big fella, okay? He had 12 field goals, 11 in the paint.
Yep.
And one of them, I believe it was, in the restricted area, the block charge restricted area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was just.
That's what I said. They don't have, talking about Brooklyn, they don't have a rim protector.
No.
And so, you know, keep going. Let Middleton shoot. Middleton can shoot. He had a decent night or good night.
Good night.
From the 3-point line. But don't let Drew Holiday shoot 10. And it started in the very first quarter, even though they won the game. In the first quarter, 18 out of their 26 points were in the paint. And they were 1 for 13 from the 3-point line. So, you know, early on it was obvious if they could get to the paint, then they could – you know, they could keep people from defending them. So that would be my game plan in game 7 for sure.
Well, the other two other interesting notes off of that ball game, fast break points. Boy, the Bucks really pushed it. And if these stats are correct, they outscored the Nets 26-4 in transition. Mm. And getting to the charity stripe, they doubled up the Nets in getting to the charity stripe.
Yeah.
Now, that's even when you brick it from beyond the arc, that's how you overcome that.
Absolutely. And that's another benefit of taking the ball to the paint, attacking the basket, is you do get those fouls and you do get to the free throw line. So please don't start 1 for 13. You start 1 for 13 in the first quarter from the 3-point line and you're out of the game in game 7.
Do you realize there's been more MRIs in this playoff situation than there has been road games? And you think all the guys that got hurt and they go do an MRI.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, no.
You know, in this series in particular, man, they've had three road games. They've had more than three guys take an MRI on both teams.
And you know, of course, LeBron. And
yeah, what do you think of those comments?
You know what? I'm a little tired of hearing from LeBron. I'm more and more inclined to jump in Dr. J's boat. He's not one of the 10 best players that ever played.
That's what Doctor said.
But I'm tired of his opinions. I mean, he's a great ball player. Maybe the best ever. But so he wants to blame it on all the injuries. Blame it on, you know, coming back so quick from the bubble and that championship down there. I don't buy that.
Let me parlay this back into something you guys said earlier. You talked about it being such a heavy players league in the NBA. Do you think it's gone to the point where it's too much of a players league where guys like LeBron James are trying to like run roughshod over literally everything?
Yes. Yes, that's the simple answer.
Agreed.
You know, trying to make the schedule. I mean, he picks where he wants to play. He picks who his teammates are going to be. He wants to dictate what the schedule is. Basketball players play basketball. Let the league and the Board of Governors make all those other decisions.
Well, here's an interesting thing to think about, Process and Dan. They want to play fewer games. They don't want multiple back-to-backs. So, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
You know, and they want a shorter season, among other things that they would like. Okay. I have not heard one player or one agent say, My players will be willing to take less money to play less games.
No. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
And a guy like LeBron, if he really wants a shorter schedule, he's already got, they try to arrange the back-to-back. Take less money. You're making, don't make the guy at the end of the bench who's making $1 million as a minimum, or a guy's making $2.5-5 million. You're making like $50 million a year. Say, look, guys, you give me what I want here, and because I'm the pseudo president of the league, and I'll take less money. I'll take like $30 million or $40 million. I mean, but. The union piece of it, Dan, I'm sure you've met all those people on that side also. The union piece of that, you kind of wonder what it would look like if it was staged like golf and tennis, where you eat what you earned.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it'd be hard to do.
And pro sports used to be that way. There weren't any, and now I'm going way, way back, but there weren't any multi-year contracts. There weren't any guaranteed contracts. You had your year, and then they called up and said, here's what we're going to pay you next year. And who was it? Babe Ruth, when Babe Ruth asked for $100,000, the owner of the Yankees said, that's more than the president makes. And Babe Ruth said, I had a better year than the president.
And a texter here says the Cubbies officially in first place.
Absolutely. We had a good night last night. We shut out the Mets.
And you put DeGrom on the injured reserve list, I think. I mean, you ran him off the mound.
That's not our concern anymore.
We're struck out 8 of the first 9 batters before exiting the game.
Yes,
he's a freaking crazy person, man. He's ridiculous.
But here's my question. If he can't stay in the game, what good does it do?
That's fair.
Does it do? But the Cubs, Hendricks shut out the Mets for 6 innings. And like we've said the last couple of months, the Cubs get to the 6th inning with the lead, and the game's over. Their bullpen, it was phenomenal last night. They had three pitchers come in for the last 3 innings, and all 3 of them were 3 up and 3 down. And Hendricks retired the last 8 players. So the last 17 players for the Mets were retired in order. And then, of course, we got a break because the Reds, the Brewers, and the Cardinals all lost last night. So the Cubs are in first place, Texter. Let's keep it going.
That made his day, And Creed's probably home having a cold beer celebrating too,
Nah, he's not a beer guy. He's more of like a cocktail, like a Sex on the Beach kind of guy is Creed.
No way.
Yeah, way.
I'm guessing Chardonnay.
No, I don't like wine. He likes like the light cocktails, like the Long Island iced tea kind of deal. Like that's Crean's role. It's not my deal.
Ooh. I tried one of those once. I liked it. Tried the second one. TKO. It TKO'd me.
Oh, it's dangerous, man.
They are dangerous.
Everything neat, man. That's how I do it. All the stuff I drink is neat.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And beer.
Yeah, that's neat too.
Well, beer's neat too, but I mean, I only drink my scotch neat because I'm an old person.
Is that why you take weekends off?
Exactly. What do you think I'm doing today? I'm going to smoke a cigar, as Mr. Mike Pratt says, and I'm going to play poker and I'm going to drink some scotch. That's what I'm going to do tonight. Okay.
Are you going to have one of those dog walkers, those little ones, or are you going to have a big old fat one?
Dog walker.
No, I like a big cigar. What can I say? I like a commitment. I like to take my time and relax.
Where did dog walker come
from? Where did that come from?
Get the glossary out again. What's a dog walker?
A friend of mine smokes cigars. He smokes the little ones, and he smokes a little one because when he walks his dog, his wife won't let him smoke in the house. And this has been quite a few years ago that he told the story. So he had to go out, walk the dog, and get the little cigars, dog walker.
Feel it.
You feel it?
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, Dan.
Yes, Mike.
I'll tell you, I want to get back to this, but, my wife's birthday is Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you get her?
That's a secret.
Well, she's not listening.
She might trick me and might be listening. But anyway, I'm not taking her out to eat because she's got the grandkids over. She's babysitting weekend.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have the problem you have. And now I know not to go to the restaurant that you and Sherry went. Don't go to that one.
No, don't go to that one because they don't have enough help. Where they're located would be a great place to open a restaurant, but they have been able to so far.
Well, she'll get dinner next week.
Okay.
She'll get dinner next week, and she gets to play with the grandkids, and that makes
her
birthday.
You know, I don't know if I took Sherry out for her birthday and one of our favorite restaurants, but there's a couple of really nice steakhouses that we like to go to. And I know I waited too long. I was only like 2 or 3 days before our anniversary. But you can't get in. And I wonder if they haven't opened fully yet because of the employee problem.
I think that's work what problem. I keep hearing.
Because I can't – I looked at like 3 different steakhouses in Louisville. And, the first reservation I could get was like at 9:45 at night or something. And I've been asleep for 45 minutes at 9:45.
All right. I'll remember all of those stories when I make my choice next week to go to dinner.
Start early.
To celebrate my wife, Marcia's birthday. So who you like?
Well, happy birthday, Marcia, to start with.
There you go. Yeah. She'll appreciate that if she's listening. She might be peeping us out, you know. Who do you like in this 7th game in New York, in Brooklyn, between the Bucks?
Oh, no. I you have to go with the home team. You have to go with the home team. But, tonight there are a couple of series that could end. I mean, Atlanta, what about the Atlanta and 76ers?
I'm taking Philly.
You're taking Philly?
I'm taking Philly.
What about the Jazz and
Paperclips?
Clips.
Well, Leonard's not playing. That's a, George plays like he did the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was special. I didn't think he had that kind of game
in
him. But with Leonard out, I think the Jazz have a chance.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun to watch. Have a great weekend. We're at the end of this week for Dan and Mike. Tune in again Monday, Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, presented by Stockton Mortgage.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.